InshaAllah, brothers, there'll be a short lesson of tafsir taking place. InshaAllah, your participation will be beneficial, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. InshaAllah, we'll continue with our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf from where we stopped last week, inshaAllah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا. صدق الله العظيم. Last week I think we did this ayah. I'll just quickly recap this, inshallah. Last week we discussed how the Ashabul Kahf, the companions of the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them into this deep sleep. Thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ, then we raised them, لِنَعْلَمْ, so that we may know, أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ, which of the two groups, أَحْصَى, is more accurate, لِمَا لَبِثُوا, in terms of how long they had remained, Amada, in terms of the time, how long they had stayed in the cave. So afterwards Allah Ta'ala is saying, after we put them to a very long period of sleep, 309 years as I've already mentioned, the ulama say, and the Qur'an Allah Ta'ala mentions, 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعَى, and it's going to come later anyway. The 309 years Allah Ta'ala put them to sleep, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala raised them. So Allah Ta'ala says, so we may know. We may know. So why did Allah Ta'ala say we may know? Allah Ta'ala already knows. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, so that we may know which of the two groups is more accurate in terms of how long they stayed. Because they woke up, and I mentioned that when they woke up, some of the youngsters said, oh, we think we've been here just for part of a day. Others said, oh, we think it's been more than a day. But then when they looked around at each other, they noticed something was off. So then a group said, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best how long we stayed. So when they woke up from this miraculous sleep, they started to discuss amongst themselves how long they had been asleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was already aware of the duration. However, he wanted to make this manifest to the people. Allah knew. But again, this was a sign, izhar, a display of Allah's power. This whole incident of Surah Al-Kahf and the incident of the cave, Allah ta'ala showing his power. Something which is unexpected, Allah Ta'ala is making it happen. So that when they wake up now, again, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمْ When they woke up, we woke them up so that they have this discussion. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala could have put them into sleep forever. They were believers in Allah Ta'ala, muwahideen, they believed in one Allah. They fled from their homes out of fear of being persecuted for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. They were in a very high, lofty position. They could have died. When they died, they would inshallah go to Jannah. They got nothing to worry about. Why did Allah Ta'ala make them wake from this sleep? So that they themselves, as youngsters, are satisfied in the dunya. They feel that pleasure, that happiness, that satisfaction, that wow, we have seen the help of Allah with our own eyes. So this is a treat, like a treat, you know. Allah doesn't have to give you that. Our iman, our faith is on unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ The believers are those who believe in the unseen. We can't see Allah Ta'ala, we can't see Jannah, Jahannam, angels, jinns, all of these things are from the unseen. But at times Allah Ta'ala, His pious servants, He gives them, you know, it's like a treat, like a candy, like a sweet. So you taste that realization, that pleasure, that satisfaction, that wow, I've seen Allah's help with my own eyes. Even if you didn't realize, Allah is still helping us. And even if you still feel you're in the dark, which is fine, because the dunya is a place of darul imtihan, darul ibtila, a place of test. But the pious people, Allah Ta'ala time and again gives them a little, you know, flicker, glimpse of Allah's power, Allah's help, Allah's assistance. And the whole point of all of this is to strengthen their hearts even more. And this is reality. A person who walks close to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala pulls him. That's why in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever walks towards me, I run towards him. Yeah? Whoever walks towards me, arm handspan, I go towards them at arm's length. And whoever comes towards me at arm's length, I go towards them a cubit distance. And whoever comes towards me walking, I take to harwalatan. Harwala means, you know, when you flee, when you run away. Allah ta'ala says, whoever walks towards me, I flee towards them, I run towards them. I want to see in the hearts of my servants that desire, that motivation, that yearning, that, oh Allah, I need you. I'm trying to make an effort to get close to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes. So then Allah ta'ala shows you, Allah ta'ala guides you, Allah ta'ala keeps your heart firm. And then a person says, subhanallah, wherever I look, I just see Allah's help. I see Allah's assistance. And at times, it's very, very clear and in ways which are mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Subhanallah, even normal people, you know, like normal Muslims, they don't have to be Ashabul Kahf. Their names don't have to be mentioned in the Quran. But just by following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, just by staying away from sins, just by trying the best to worship Allah Ta'ala, many times they see the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, to see Allah's assistance and help, we need to be on some ladder of what is called wilaya, friendship. Friendship. Friendship with Allah Ta'ala. And friendship with Allah Ta'ala is acquired when a person stays away from all sins to the best of their ability. To the best of their ability, and tries to obey all of Allah's commands to the best of their ability, they go into the first rung, the first step of the ladder of what we call wilaya, sainthood. And that ladder is very, 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 very long, right? If you're on the first step, then you can go into the second step, and then the third one, and then the fourth one, and your whole life, even if you're the greatest saint walking on the earth, you still won't reach the top. Because it's a hidayah. And that's why Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahimahullah in Ma'arif al-Quran, he mentions that when we make this dua in every single salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Oh Allah, guide us to the right path. Someone can ask the question, well, I'm already guided, I'm already a Muslim. So why do I keep asking Allah for hidayah? I've already got hidayah, I've already guided. That's why he explains that hidayah has darajat, levels. You can be on the lowest level of hidayah, and then you'll be on a certain level, but there is no final level. You keep going higher. The closer you get to Allah Ta'ala, your level of hidayah keeps getting higher. So Allah Ta'ala shows signs. I was reading about, in South Africa, he's passed away, Rahmatullahi Marna Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ali. He was a scholar from South Africa. Marna has met him. Marna has seen him. He just small incidents. You know, when you see Allah's help, in his biography, he mentions that, you know, he was flying from South Africa to England. And the flight, it was an Air India flight. It's an Air India flight. And he said when he was at the airport waiting for the flight, all of a sudden this strong feeling came in his heart that, you know what, I shouldn't go on this flight. And he said my wife was with me, and it was this strong feeling that I can't go on this flight. He said I went over to the waiting desk or whatever, and I said, is there any other airlines that are going to England? And they said, yeah, there's a Lufthansa one flying out. And he said, meanwhile, my wife is quizzing me, what are you doing? We've got the flight, it's going to go in a short while. He said, no, something doesn't feel right. I said, I didn't know what it was, but it was just a strong feeling. And he said, yeah, they said there's a Lufthansa flight. I said, that's fine. And he said, I paid for the Lufthansa flight. And the whole time my wife said, what are you doing? Why did you do that? That's so silly. We could have been in England already. This. He said, we arrived in England. The next day we're having breakfast at a relative's house. And we hear on the news that the Air India flight has crashed. Every single passenger on board had died. He said, I said to my wife, look. He said, I couldn't explain to you, but I felt this strong feeling in my heart that I can't go on this flight. Allah's assistance from the unseen can come in any way. And there are so many examples. People, we are all here, probably in our daily life, we've seen so many things. Many times we think, oh, this is just probably coincidence or something or the other. But Allah's help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. So people on higher levels of sainthood, many times they see Allah's help in more clearer ways. So this was that. Allah ta'ala wanted them to see that, look at the way I saved you. Look at the way I protected you. I put you through this miraculous sleep, 309 years you slept. So who are the two groups of people who are discussing how long they were in the cave? Different opinions. Some scholars mentioned two groups from the companions of the cave. They had different opinions. Some were saying we slept half a day. Some said we slept a day. The companions and the villagers, the inhabitants of the city. Remember, these fled from the city. Scholars of Tafsir said they only fled about 9 miles. From where the city was, they left, they went 9 miles into a mountainous region. Into the mountains, they found a cave and they went into that cave, the Kahf. So it's when they came back, and then after they were spotted and noticed and identified by the villagers, by the townsmen, after that, when they went back and then they passed away, then the discussion started. They were those youngsters that fled, and we got their names on the tablet. It was them. How long do you think they've been in the cave? You know, and everybody started guessing. So this was the two groups. Wallahu alam. Allah Ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ. We will narrate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, this whole incident of Kahf, or the explanation of this incident, came because why? The Quraysh, they went to the Yahud and they said, this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam keeps, mentioning things like he knows so many things. And we don't know what to say about it because we don't know these things. About Prophet Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and about this and about that. And the mushrikun, the idol worshippers, had very little information about these things. One of the accusations they would raise is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has probably found someone from the Ahlul Kitab, a scholar, a rabbi from the Jews or the Christians. He's probably learnt it all from him. Because we, the pagans, the idol worshippers, we don't know anything about the prophets, and we don't know about Prophet Ayyub and Prophet Musa and Prophet Isa. But how does Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know so much? And they would have these discussions in some books of tafsir. I think Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that in Ruh al-Ma'ani, Allama Alusi rahimullah mentions, and in Tafsir Kabir, Allama Khuruddin Razi rahimullah mentions, that there was a man, one of the leaders of the Quraysh, I've forgotten his name, he used to say, you know what, Muhammad is just a storyteller, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just sits and tells stories. I can tell much better stories than him. So what he would do is, he started circles where he would just tell stories, made up, like tales, to entertain people. Thinking that this was his competition with the Quran. That the prophets, because in the Quran Allah Ta'ala mentioned certain incidents, so he thought, I'll tell tales. Some people sat with him a few days, and then those same people left and they went into the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he got very frustrated and he thought, who can I go to? Who would have an answer to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he went to the Yahud. He went to the Jewish people of Medina Munawwara. He said, give us something. We need to make him stop. Give us some questions that he will not know the answer to, and then that's it, his mission will stop. And then the Yahud, the Jewish community, or the Jewish rabbis, they said, look, there's three questions. Ask him about these three questions. One of them were, who were those group of youngsters who fled from their city out of fear that people will persecute them? Let's see if he knows about that. It was a test for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ. There are so many opinions, so many stories, so many tales about these group of youngsters. We will tell you, we will relate to you, نَبَأَهُمْ, their true story. بِالْحَقِّ, their true story. No tales, no lies, no made up things. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ, they were a group of youngsters. آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ, they had brought iman in their Rabb. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى, and we had increased them in hidayah. Look, two things there. Iman and izdiyad. One is iman. A person brings iman. Everybody here is a mu'min, Muslim, inshallah. Yeah? Once you become Muslim, that's why in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, there are some people, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Allah Ta'ala pulls towards himself the people that he wishes, and he guides whoever repents. Anyone who makes tawbah says, oh Allah, I've messed up, my past life was full of sins, please guide me, Allah will guide them. But then from them, Allah will select a few, and he will pull them even closer. So to me, they will all look the same people, but some of them are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah has pulled them. This is Allah's choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah pulled the Anbiya alayhi salam. Allah ta'ala pulled the Anbiya alayhi salam, drew them towards him. No Nabi ever has made dua, oh Allah, make me a Nabi. Until today, if we make dua, oh Allah, make me a Nabi, we're not going to become that because that door is closed. Allah pulled people from the most obscure people. They were not leaders, they were not chiefs, they were not wealthy men, rich men, nothing. Just someone whose heart was so clean and so pure. And this is one factor the ulama always say. Their hearts were clean. And even from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when the Sahaba talk about why was Abu Bakr Siddiq as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they say Abu Bakr didn't perform more salah than us. He didn't give more zakat than us, or more this than us, more than... He said, وَلَكِنْ شَيْءٌ وَقَرَ فِي قَلْبِي. But it was something that had come into his heart. It was his heart. Allah Ta'ala had chosen his heart, and Allah had made him a Siddiq. So it's all about Allah Ta'ala pulling a person, Allah calling a person. But the condition is that a person's heart is pure. Heart pure means there is no hatred, anger, resentment towards anybody. Especially towards the Muslims. See? This is the first condition, the heart is pure. Qalbun salim. There is no pride, there is no jealousy, there is no... All of these bad, bad qualities, the heart is empty of them. So Allah Ta'ala says, they were a group of youngsters, they brought iman upon Allah Ta'ala, but we decided that we were going to increase them in their hidayah. We were going to give them a higher status. They were on the first... It's like the first ladder, first rung of the ladder. They climbed onto that by bringing iman. We wanted to take them much higher up. We will mention Allah Ta'ala, is like Allah Ta'ala is saying, we will mention the authentic version of their story, not that which is widespread amongst the Christians and idol worshippers. Right? The Arabic word fityatun means youngsters. Scholars of tafsir mention that the time of transformation and change is youth. It's a very important point. He's youngsters. Revolution starts from the youngsters. Elders have wisdom. They have wisdom, they have tajriba, they have years of understanding. But a change happens from the youth. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his companions, they were all youth. They had elders, but the ones who made all the difference were youth. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair, all of Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they were all under the age of 40, or they were 40 around that age. They were all young. So change, the ulama say, always happens from the youth. So Allah Ta'ala mentioning the word fityatun, they were youngsters, is highlighting the fact that youth is the age where when a person makes a move towards Allah Ta'ala at young age, this is most appreciated by Allah Ta'ala. So the famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the seven people who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day where there will be no other shade apart from Allah is shabun, youngster, young man, nasha'a fi ibadatillah, who grew up, he grew up, he was raised, he was nurtured in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His bread and butter was the worship of Allah. When people around him were movies, drugs, this, that, the other, doing all these things, he busied himself, engaged himself with the worship of Allah. This person is so precious, so dear to Allah. On the day of judgment, when the sun will be right above our heads, people will be drowning in their own sweat, this person will be under a special shade that will only be allocated to those people who spent their youth in Allah's worship. Very precious, very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person becomes old, it is very difficult to change one's ways. That's most of the people who rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the elders, isn't it? All the chiefs and leaders, they were all old. And one of the questions that the Quraysh of Makkah raised, that why, you know, نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم. وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم. They said, why was the Quran not revealed to one of these great elders from our two cities? Because they look at elders, these are chiefs, so many years, seniority. But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, that doesn't matter. Rather, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, someone who spent their whole life in sin and disobedience and they've reached an old age, it's actually very hard for them to change their habits. Very hard for them to change their morals, their character, their understanding. Why? I've been doing this my whole life. And isn't this the response that the Quraysh and the people, Mushrikun, used to say? وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ. We found our forefathers doing this. I've seen my dad doing this. I've seen my granddad doing this. I've seen all of them worshipping idols. Who are you to come now and say that, you know, I shouldn't be worshipping idols? So it's much more difficult to change the mindset, perception of those who are elderly. So the youth is the age of revolution. And one more point I mentioned here. This is why we see the Prophet ﷺ companions were mainly youth. Youth accepted his message, whereas most of the elders and seniors did not. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَ. Ayah number 4, I'm brought the Arabic. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And we strengthened their hearts. When they stood up and they declared. So when did this happen? Remember, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning certain facts now. Accurate historical facts. That when these youngsters were summoned, that you people, we noticed you on that Eid day, on the day where everybody was worshipping idols, you guys just went into the corner there and you just sat there. Why weren't you sacrificing to the idols? Why weren't you getting involved in what everybody else was doing? It's noticeable, right? Outcasts. Even now, somebody who's holding on to their deen and somebody who is trying their best to stay away from what everybody else is involved in becomes outcast. What's wrong with you guys? Everybody else is doing this, why do you have an issue with it? Even if what you're doing is haq and right, people will say, what? You're not following everybody else? Something's wrong with you. Whereas everybody understands that you don't be a sheep. You know, you say things like, you know, if this person jumped off the cliff, would you jump off a cliff? Don't follow everybody else. Use your brain, use your common sense. But in terms of society, we want a person to do what everybody else is doing. And if somebody doesn't do the same as everybody else, we say there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with this person. As when the hadith of Prophet ﷺ said, Udhkurullah, make so much dhikr of Allah that people say this person is majnoon, crazy. Yeah, always busy. You're just weird. You're just strange. Everybody enjoys talking about this, that and other, and all you want to do is talk about Allah. What's wrong with you? Something's wrong with him. Right? So they called him, they called these youngsters, and now these youngsters are thinking to themselves, what do we say? What do we do? We believe in one Allah, but if we stand up in front of our people and say that we believe in Allah, first of all, the emperor, if we're talking about the emperor Decius, the Roman emperor, who was a tyrant or the tyrant king, he will kill us. On the spot he can harm us, on the spot something can happen. What do we do? But Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبَّطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We made their hearts strong. That when they stood in front of their people, rather than becoming nervous, rather than becoming anxious, leave it, let's say something else, let's say, they declared the haq in front of everyone. And they said, our Lord, Rabbuna Rabbu Samawati wal Ard. Our Rabb is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. We will never call anyone else Allah apart from Him, God apart from Him. If we did that, إِذَن شَطَطَى. If we were to say that, then we are saying a very terrible thing, a very terrible lie. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, look, our help was there with them. Their hearts were firm, so they didn't slip in front of me. It's a lot of pressure. Last time I mentioned about the Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, and the test, the fitna to khalq al-Qur'an, the scholars of the time went through, right? Many of the scholars just said, yeah, just say it, yaar. Just say it. Just say it so that you are saved. And these incidents are found amongst the Sahaba, subhanAllah, in so, you know, so many incidents like this have found amongst the Sahaba. Be ready to give their life. Kill me if you must, but I will not leave my deen. Kill me if you must, I will not leave my deen. The most famous incident is incident of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Thrown in the middle of the desert, massive boulder rock placed on his chest. If you do not stop saying this, you will lie here in the sweltering heat and you will die. And he kept saying, Ahad, Ahad, Ahad. Scholars say Allah's divine assistance was with him then as well. What we thought Bilal was experiencing something different. Very similar to the experience of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown in the fire. When a person accepts, Ya Allah, you are my protector. You know what, these people, I can't place my trust on any of them. They're all out to destroy me. They're all out to kill me. But oh Allah, I'm doing this for your sake. So oh Allah, you will help me. You know, when you have that certainty, Allah's help always comes. Like it came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, like it came to the companions of the cave, like it came to many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, Sayyidina Hudhafa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was sent to the Christians of Ghassan, and they captured him. And the incident has got weak in my mind. But again, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, so they said to him, if you do not leave your religion, we will throw you into a boiling cauldron of water, we'll boil you alive. We will boil you alive. And he said, you can do that. You can do that. I'm happy to be boiled. I'm happy to be roasted alive. People said, just say it. You know, you're allowed to say this. When it said, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى in the Quran. Someone who is, you know, put into a difficult position and their hearts are firm upon Iman, if they say something which is not true, they are excused at that moment in time. Under fear of death, you can say it. But they said, no, we're not going to say it. And there are so many examples like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, Allah ta'ala makes their heart firm. Allah Ta'ala granted the youth's firmness, bravery and freedom from fear so they could speak the truth openly. Their statement affirms that only Allah deserves worship. Calling upon any other deity is falsehood. I will just do this last ayah. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنْ نَدْعُوَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. So this is part of the dialogue, the speech of the youngsters when they stood in front of their people. Allah Ta'ala said, we strengthen their hearts. First point they made is, we believe in one Allah, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We will never ever leave our iman. Even this, you know, to say, I will never leave my iman, it's very difficult to say this, right? Because what guarantee do you have? What guarantee do I have of, you know, my life ending upon iman? There's no guarantee. But a person only says this when Allah Ta'ala has given them the sweetness of iman and they know that there is no way in my capacity, in my ability that I will leave it. Allah's plan is different, then that's something different. But me in my own capacity, I will never do this. That's why in the hadith the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three qualities when they're in a person, this person will taste the sweetness of iman. What is the sweetness of iman? The scholars mention, once you taste it, you will never, ever, ever want to go to your previous state. One of the qualities is that he will love to be thrown into the fire, into a burning fire, more than for his iman to leave his heart. And yuhibba an yuqdhafa fi an-nari. He's happy to be thrown into a burning fire, but he is not happy to leave his iman. And then what happens? The sweetness of iman is experienced. And sweetness of iman, scholars talk about in many different ways. Say even you know, controlling the gaze, not looking at the opposite gender, especially when there's a, you know, a desire, lustful desire to look there, when a person keeps forcing their gaze away, forcing their gaze away, forcing their gaze away, Allah Ta'ala, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, this person is also blessed with the sweetness of iman. And there are certain things and qualities that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person brings into their life, Allah grants them the sweetness of iman. After they taste the sweetness of the iman, they never want to go back to their old state. It becomes impossible for them to think of leaving iman, leaving Islam. It doesn't matter what society is doing or who is saying, and nothing makes a difference to them. So that's the first thing. They said that. Then they said, these people, our people, have adopted other gods, you know, apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do they not bring a clear proof in their favor? You're calling on other gods, where's your dalil? Where's your evidence? So clearly from here, that logical, rational reasoning, that we believe in Allah, if you can bring us proof of any other gods apart from Allah, then we can consider it. You people have no proofs. You can't say our proof is what our forefathers did. That's not proof for us. There has to be proof that there is more than one Allah. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who can be more unjust, oppressive, than someone who invents lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here, Imam Razi rahmatullahi, etc., Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi mentioned, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ. Who can be more oppressive? Now, this word ظُلْم, oppression. Oppression is when you harm someone else. Normally, that's what we think, right? We think oppression is when you harm someone else, which is true, to a certain degree. But the greatest oppression is oppression with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even sin. Sin is oppression, ظلم. That's why whenever we make dua after the end of salah, the last dua that we make, اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي. Oh Allah, I've oppressed myself. Because I committed sins and I made you upset. I've oppressed myself. And the greatest oppression is kufr and shirk. It's the worst oppression. Because that's the worst form of ظلم against Allah. That Allah who created me, gave me all of the blessings in life, is always looking after me. And then I say, you don't exist. I say, you don't exist, na'udhu billah. I say, there is no existence for you. Or I say, no, you have more partners. It's the greatest form of oppression and the greatest, this makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most angry. So this is a point extrapolate here. Imam Razi rahmatullahi explains that fabricating beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as claiming partners for him, is the most severe form of dhulm and injustice. So inshallah, I think we'll stop there. Does anyone have any questions? Any questions? It's not too complicated. Is it clear to understand? Easy to understand, inshallah. Chalo, we'll carry on next week. Allah ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, wa bihamdihi, la ilaha illa anta.